Riverside Feed and Seed, Slayport Supply, Banks and Company Hardware, Stephen Fights Allstate, B&B Transmission, and Primetime Meds Clinic.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Thursday, October 9th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris, with you the next couple of hours talking sports and more. Chase Brumfield right alongside, manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. Beautiful morning outside, and Chase, I know you're up even earlier than I am. Walked outside this morning, that breeze hit me, and I loved it. I mean, I'm in shorts and a T-shirt. And when I walked outside, that breeze hit me and I was chilly. Man, feels good. Feels awesome. This is what October is supposed to feel like. Now, I know it's going to warm on up, but we've got some great weather coming up this weekend. Lows over the weekend in the 50s. I think like in the low 50s, they're calling for it. So that's going to be fun. Now, the days are still going to be beautiful and warm up, but you're talking lows, mid-50s on Saturday and Sunday morning, highs in the 70s, which I think is awesome. Now, like I said, it is going to heat up a little bit next week, but this is football weather, so I'm gonna love it and enjoy it. And, of course, a football Friday coming up tomorrow night, high school action, so feels good. It really great weather out there, so let's all take advantage of that. Great show on tap that I'll run down for you here in just a second. A lot to cover this morning. First, though, I do need to tell you this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you, as always, by Alabama Credit Union. Spend your time living, not banking. Find the perfect account to make life easier. A checking account should do more than help you manage your money. It should make life better and help you feel good about your money. That's what the accounts at Alabama Credit Union checking accounts will do for you. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com, Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, the lineup for today, it's a good one. The coach, Ellis Johnson, coming up at 9:30 to break down SEC football. What a schedule we've got on tap for this weekend. At 10 o'clock, D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC. With the Falcons report, we haven't visited with Orlando in a couple of weeks, but the Falcons are a team that is in the hunt there in the NFC South. And then at 10:30, Jeff Spiegel, sports anchor at ABC 3340. Alabama football, of course, is the main topic of conversation, but men's basketball has got an exhibition game in less than 2 weeks. They open the season in early November against North Dakota. I remember, Chase, when college men's basketball teams didn't even start practicing until October the 15th. It wasn't that long ago that you didn't even start practice until October the 15th. Now, they're going to be playing exhibition games in October and regular season games in early November. You didn't used to start the regular season in college basketball until late November. But boy, like I said, everything has changed. But that SEC football schedule is loaded for this weekend. We'll bring you up to date on the latest point spreads as that line in the Alabama game continues to go up. It's now Alabama -3.5. So money coming in on the Crimson Tide at Mizzou. Washington State's at Ole Miss, Oklahoma at Texas, Arkansas at Tennessee, Florida at A&M, Georgia at Auburn, and South Carolina at LSU. That's your SEC schedule for this weekend. I'll run down the updated point spreads for you again in a little bit. And remember, the only team in the SEC not playing an SEC opponent is Ole Miss. They've got Washington State. And as we talked about yesterday, you've got several teams on bye: Kentucky, Vanderbilt. And that third team continues to elude me. I'm going through the teams in my head right now. I think it is Kentucky, Vanderbilt. Who's the other team that's on by here? Let's run them down. Is it anyway, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. My head is just overwhelmed. I do that show in Memphis before I do my show, and then I got in here this morning, Wimp and Barry out this morning, so the computers weren't powered up. So I was on that show on video. My phone was the, it's just been a mess this morning. That's all I can tell you. The phone, the orientation was locked, so I couldn't get the video up the way I wanted to. I had to turn my phone long ways, and the computers weren't powered up. And now I can't remember the other team that's on bye. Help me out here, Chase. Vanderbilt's on bye. Kentucky's on bye. Who's the other SEC team that's on bye this week?
Mississippi State.
Mississippi State. Yes, your team. There you go. Got that. Oh, man. I had, you know, listen, my show is about as transparent as it gets. If I'm having a good day, you know it. If I'm having a bad day, you know it. I'm not having a bad day, but I'm just off to a hectic start. Getting in, trying to get in early so I could do that show before my show, and then my phone orientation was locked, and I didn't realize it, so I had a sideways video, and they were texting me, but I didn't realize that they were texting me that my phone orientation was locked. And then the computers weren't up. So get me going. I'm glad my show is on the air now so I can settle in. But we got a great show on tap for you. Let's go ahead and take our first break just so I can get back and get myself aligned. We're going to get to phone calls. We got Tom. We got Corey and Trustful. We'll take these calls on the other side. The Gary Harris Show is off and running, and some great guests, some great topics. We'll be right back after this.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Thursday morning. Scattered showers over the week have not helped stem the spread of drought across West Alabama. The newly released drought monitor this morning reveals an area of extreme drought has continued to spread, covering Greene, Hale, and Marengo counties, southern Tuscaloosa, southwestern Pickens, and extreme western Bibb counties.
Tidwell Chiropractic, the only third-generation chiropractor with over 27 years' experience in Tuscaloosa. Call Tidwell Chiropractic at 752-7503.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special Monday.
Options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny today, the high in the upper 70s, around 79. Clear and very pleasant tonight, the low 59. Dry weather tomorrow and Saturday. The sky sunny both days, highs between 77 and 80. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 64 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done.
9:15, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Phone calls are lined up, so we're going to knock them all out right here. Let's get to the sheriff, Tom. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. I want to say one thing first is the podcast, I finally got around to finding it and understanding how to watch it on a delayed basis. I did not realize it was interactive on Monday nights at, I believe, 7.
It is, yep.
I wanted to commend y'all on a really good job. Great podcast. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, it's really nice. Anyway, I got a question I'd like for you to ask Coach Ellis when he comes on.
Okay.
I have listened to Greg McElroy talk about running games in today's college football, And I wanted you to ask him, it's kind of a two-parter. Running games have evolved to where they're a little more sophisticated than it used to be, where you lined up and try to blow people off the ball and run straight ahead. Missouri, McElroy pointed out, runs at angles.
Mm-hmm.
You have to tackle at angles. And he said it makes it difficult. And the type running back they got, their running attack enables him to bounce off and run, and that's where he gets a lot of yards. I thought it was an interesting point. And But, you know, Coach Ellis is so good at preparing for different things. You've seen him come up with these great schemes against good offenses. I wanted you to ask him, did he pick up on that and the involvement of
the run game?
The running game.
Okay.
Yeah. You see where I'm going?
Yeah, I do. I do. Yeah. And it has evolved, and it is a lot different. And you're right.
I can't wait to hear what his take on it is.
All right. I'll ask him.
See you.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate you. All right. Let's hit Bryce here. Hey, good morning, Bryce.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Well, I'm on my way to North Texas. My granddaughter's turning 3. I'm going to a little party this weekend. See my daughter.
Are you going to see our associate?
I had a conversation with him this morning because I was right there before you get to the New Albany, Mississippi. I sit in traffic for about 2 hours, 3 hours. There's a wreck. So I had a little conversation with him this morning. I might see if I can see him, but if we could, our schedules have come together, yeah. But I missed Larry yesterday because I scheduled it, you know, and how was his show yesterday?
It was good. He had on Craig Reed, who for the first of a 2-part series, who was a roadie and later a drum tech and guitar tech for Lynyrd Skynyrd, and was actually on the plane when it crashed in South Mississippi, and then later went on to be on tours with Foreigner and Journey. So we were talking about firsthand accounts of Lynyrd Skynyrd, and he'll be back again next week. So it was pretty neat stuff, you know, from behind, literally behind the scenes, because there aren't that many people that are left that were on that plane.
Well, I don't see how he survived. I seemed like there was like only like 2 or 3 people survived on that. Is that right, Gary?
No, there was only 3 that were killed. Ronnie Van Zant, Steve Gaines, and Cassie Gaines. The rest of them survived, but have passed on from time to time. I mean, you know, during life. But there aren't many of them that were on that plane that are alive now. But Craig Reed is one of them. So it was pretty cool to have him on.
Well, what do you see this weekend?
Well, I think Bama's going to win the game. I've got 35-28. I think they'll need to play well. But if they play well, I think they'll win. I think the only way Missouri can win is if Alabama, shoots itself in the foot, which, you know, can happen. So I'm concerned about it because you're going on the road in the SEC. But I like the way Alabama's playing right now, particularly on offense. I think they found something defensively in the second half against Vanderbilt. So I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, me too. Everybody's on the same page. I see 34-17. I'm gonna ride that till I get it.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, have an awesome weekend, man. I know you look forward to that. You will be able to watch the game, right?
Well, you know, it's her birthday party. If I don't get to watch it, I keep up with it on my phone. You know?
Yeah, that's true. You'll keep those updates.
My ex-brother-in-law's house. He's a big A&M fan, so never know. He may have it on.
All right.
I might get to, you know, but I'll diagnose it when I get back. But thanks for letting me talk, Gary.
Thank you, Bryce. Always a pleasure to hear from you. All right, now we're going to get to our pal Corey over in Trussville. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing well, man.
Oh, I'm interested about this game. See if Alabama can stop Ahmad Hardy and get our offense going, because I think if we can dictate terms, get out to a decent lead, I think that will make them in Missouri get uncomfortable. They're kind of like Vandy, where they want to dictate pace and play from ahead. And I think if you get their quarterback in uncomfortable situations, that can lead to turnovers and us kind of put the game away. And I'm kind of thinking 38-17, where maybe tack on a couple of scores and kind of put the game away.
Right. Well, that sounds, well, I tell you what, I think most Bama fans would take 38-17 right now, Corey. I tell you that, because as I said, I think it's going to be closer than that, but I've got 35-28, but I hope I'm wrong. I hope Alabama, I'd love to see Alabama go up there and pull away. You know, of course, they shut that team out here last year, but Missouri, you know, was without their quarterback, and they weren't, you know, not indicative of the team you're going to see this year, especially with, you know, Ahmad Hardy, the running back, and what he's capable of doing. So I think it's going to be a tough game, but I think Bama's going to win it.
Yeah, the only way I see Alabama losing is if they, well, two ways. If they either turn the ball over several times and give Ahmad Hardy and their offense short field, or if we just can't get off the field on third down and allow them to extend drives with their running game and passing game and allow them to chew up clock. And other than that, I think our offense is just too good, and I think if we get a good lead, it'll force them into uncomfortable situations, and I think we'll be good from there.
Yeah, I think you got pretty good analysis. I mean, I'm just so – right now, if I just look at it objectively, just based on what I've seen so far in these last few games, ever since the Florida State game, I'm with you. If I look at it like that, if I just look at the Monroe game, the Wisconsin game, the Georgia game, and the Vanderbilt game, I could see a way for Alabama to go up there and win this thing going away. But I can't undo what happened in the Florida State game, and I can't undo the fact that last year, every time it seemed like Alabama turned the corner and had success, they would get tripped up. And I can't get that Oklahoma game out of my head from last year, or that Vanderbilt game out of my head from last year, or that Tennessee game out of my head from last year. So that still worries me, even though this is a new year. It worries me. You know what I mean, Corey?
Yeah, I agree. It's the road thing. I mean, Alabama's been so good at home, but bad on the road. But I think the fact that you beat a good Georgia team on the road, the thing I like right now, and you've seen this the past two games, is that, well, really, except for the Florida State game, Alabama's been really good at not committing penalties and not shooting themselves in the foot. They've only had one turnover, but you knew a turnover was coming. I mean, you weren't going to go the whole season without a turnover. But turnovers are way down. Alabama's converting, I think, 52% on third down, which is really good. Defensively, you want to see the third downs come down, but really it's misleading because of how many third down opportunities you're giving the other team. It's not like you're giving double-digit third down to the opponent. But I think for me, if you can keep Alabama in the, if Alabama can be in the high 40s on third down percentage offensively and be in the 30s or lower third down defensively, that would be a real good recipe for success.
Yeah, I think you're right, Corey. You, as always, you do your homework, that's for sure. So you're on pace. But, it, you know, that's the thing about it, though. We can analyze it. We can break it down, and we're doing that and you know, lay out a scenario. But funny things happen. That football is shaped, you know, it's shaped in a weird way, and you know, you go out there on the field and things can happen that you can't foresee, but yeah, I feel good about Alabama. I do, and you know, I'm anxious for him to get up there, and I do like the fact that a lot of talk about the 11 o'clock kick. I still think the 11 o'clock kick is beneficial to the road team. I do. I think that you know, when you're the home team, you know, you'd rather be a later game to have your fans be able to have more time to get ready. Plus, if you're the road team and you play a night game, you're sitting around that hotel all day long, man. I mean, you are sitting around the hotel all day long. And, you know, when you got an 11 o'clock game, I mean, you fly in that afternoon, you know, you have your meetings and you have your dinner and, you know, you go to bed and you get up the next morning, you have breakfast and you do, you know, they have probably some more meetings and then they get on the bus and, you know, 9 o'clock, they're at the stadium. And you know, they're ready to go. There's no sitting around. There's no idle time. So you get there, you play the game, you get on a bus, you go to the airport, you get on the flight, and you're back here in Tuscaloosa, you know, early Saturday evening. So I think it benefits the road team. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. As long as Alabama plays clean, I feel like we'll get a good win. But Hewitt plays Prattville tomorrow.
Well, they should be Prattville, don't you think?
Their next three games are at Prattville, at Oak Mountain, and home against Tuscaloosa County. I feel like they should win those three and get the 2 seed in 7A Region 3. They do that, they guarantee a one playoff game at home. And then right now of course, this can change. They would go to Mary G. Montgomery for round two, which Mary G. Montgomery is undefeated. But they're on the easier side because Thompson and Central Phoenix City is on the other side.
Yeah, they've got a good path. You're right. If they if that's the path that they've got a good path. Hey, Corey, I got to run. Got to get to the break. But good to hear from you, my friend.
Good talk to you, Gary. Roll Tide.
Thank you. 9:27 here on the Gary Harris Show, the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. I've been a member for over 20 years. I'd love for you to join me. I'm at the downtown branch, 2300 13th Street. Great facility, great people. Now they've got those two outdoor, beautiful, lighted pickleball courts for your pleasure. And terrific personal training staff. Everything you need. Silver Sneakers program for seniors. Fitness classes, daycare. They can help you with all of it. Get by and see them. The YMCA of Tuscaloosa. Find out more at YMCATuscaloosa.org. We'll be back with the coach, Ellis Johnson, next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
Want to jump into any of the shows? Call Tide 100.9 right now at 205-342-9904.
Will somebody answer that damn phone?
That's 205-342-9904.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It's time for the coach, Ellis Johnson, a segment that everyone looks forward to as he breaks down SEC football. Good morning, coach. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. Doing fine.
All right. We got a lot to cover. Quite a schedule. Light schedule last week, but Alabama and Vanderbilt, the Tide kind of flipped the script on the Commodores from last year. Controlled the time of possession after Vanderbilt had a big first quarter rushing the ball for 113 yards. They only rushed it for 22 the rest of the way. In the second half, Alabama controlled the clock, controlled the game. Vandy did have the one drive, but that ended in interception. And the Tide got it done, added a late touchdown to make the score a little more impressive than what it probably should have been. But 30-14, and Alabama continues to build some momentum.
Yeah, they Simpson played extremely well. But Pavia played well, but he had the critical turnovers. And the defense, Alabama, as you said, really turned it up the second half. It was a good ball game the first half, but this defense, I think, kind of smothered in the second half, and the turnovers just crushed him.
Now, if you're Alabama, you know, I've talked about this. It's a week-to-week league, and you can't rest on your laurels. You go on the road to a Mizzou team that's 5-0, Ahmad Hardy might be the best back in the country. I mean, they run the ball extremely well. They're coming off a bye. Coach Drink is a guy that will, you know, we'll get into more into how they you know, attack you with the run game. 11 o'clock kick, which I think benefits the road team myself. Coach, you can speak to that. But, I mean, you fly in on Friday, you get up Saturday morning, you eat, and you know, have a couple of meetings. You're at the stadium, you play the game. But this is one where Alabama has to be prepared and ready to go, or they could run into a hornet's nest up there. How do you see it?
Well, Missouri's playing really well, obviously undefeated right now, but they have not played anybody close to Alabama's talent level. South Carolina's a dangerous team, but this year they're not a real good team. And the rest of the schedule that they have gone through so far doesn't come close to matching Alabama. Now, Alabama needs to play well. We don't need to see any of the inconsistency that we had last year. But if they play anywhere close to the way they did against Georgia a couple of weeks ago and the way they played overall against Vandy, this one's not going to be as close as everybody thinks.
Let's get to – because Tom called in earlier and he wanted me to ask you, and he made a good point about the way Missouri and some of these teams now, you know – in the 70s, you know, hat on a hat, running downhill, fullbacks, you know, you just tried to a run game was a power game. And then, of course, you had the wishbone with the cut blocks and all that. But now these teams like Missouri, there's different options they have in the run game. The quarterback can pull it. You know, they get you going one way, and they'll run a bootleg back the other way. They attack you with angles. Will you speak to that about how sophisticated their run game is and how they have more than one option? I'm not talking about run RPO and a pass option. They'll have more than one option in a run game with how they attack you. Can you kind of address that?
Yeah, I think the more that the defenses see it, they're able to come up with some pressures and things that can really be a problem for them. But what's teams like Missouri, Vandy, Auburn, they do a great job with mixing different schemes. In other words, one time the speed motion guy will be the potential dive guy, and then you've got a pitch come out of the back door to the back. You've got the regular riding the back and then pitching it to somebody. I mean, there's just so many ways they can do it. And the shifting pre-snap and then different motions and different people that end up carrying the ball on the different option schemes, it is very, very hard on the linebacker's eyes. And sometimes it's the DB that you have to drop down to help in the box. If you don't have your eyes in the right place and you don't do a good job of identifying the right keys going into the ball game, one week your best key may be the back. One week, the best key may be a pulling guard. One week, it might be the angle of the quarterback's shoulders when he turns the mesh and so forth. But you have to find something because there's just so many different actions going on back there, and it is hard on defensive players.
Coach Ellis Johnson with us. You mentioned Ty Simpson. I want to ask you about his journey, because in the modern era, you don't have quarterbacks that wait their turn much anymore, but this is a guy, of course, his dad's a longtime coach at Tennessee Martin, Jason Simpson, so he grew up in a football family. He's been a quarterback since, he was old enough to put a football in his hands. And when he got here, though, I think there was, he had to mature off the field. I think he was a five-star guy. He wanted to come in. He wanted to play. But waiting, I think, helped him mature off the field. Obviously, his football IQ is very, very high. But Ellis, when you watch him play, it's hard. You got to remember that he's a first-time starter. The first time he ever started a game in college was at Florida State. Even though he's been around here, this is his fourth year. Did you imagine that he would play this well? I mean, can't you make an argument that he's playing as well as any quarterback in the country?
I think so. Now, you had a second half against Florida State. It was not.
Right.
But, he is the type of guy that makes people around him better. But he's also, I think, a type of guy, he has to have good people around him. In other words, he's got to have multiple weapons, because what his strength is, in my opinion, is getting the ball to the right guy at the right time. And by that, I mean he reads coverage as well. He makes the right decision with the ball. He gets it out of his hands on time. You heard the comment by Kirby the other day after the game. I mean, they had some free runners to the quarterback on some pressures they ran against Alabama. And the quarterback got it out of his hand. They couldn't sack him. And they were getting some pressure, but it wasn't getting to him. And that's because of his real quick decisions and correct decisions. And I just think he's got some weapons. He's got a running back that ran for over 100 last week. He's got great receiving core. And everybody talks about Ryan Williams, and he is the most dynamic. But the Bernard kid, I mean, he's making more plays. You can't take your eyes off anybody. Now, if you didn't have a quarterback that was hitting the right guy at the right time, those guys may not be making his plays.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell he's a coach's son to a degree. He knows what most important things are. That's why he didn't panic and run out the door in the portal, waited his turn. And the thing I like about him, from what I've been able to see, he handles success really well, and he handles failure and challenges really well. He's a very mature kid, if you will.
Well stated. I want to stay with last week with Florida and Texas. And, I mean, Arch Manning is – I still think he's a really talented quarterback. He's learning on the fly. But the one thing – and you've said this. You've said Florida that Billy Napier has brought in good players. And I guess the thing watching some of that game – I was at the Alabama game, but I was able to watch some of the Florida-Texas game Florida's really good up front on defense, Coach. I mean, I look at A&M, I look at Oklahoma, and I look at Florida as maybe the three best defensive fronts in this league, at least from what I've seen. And, boy, they were able to kind of control that football game.
Yeah, I agree with you about those fronts. I picked this one going into that game.
You did. You did, yeah.
You know, it was like, you can't go to LSU and turn the ball over five times and still be in the game in the fourth quarter unless you got a hell of a defense. And I know LSU didn't have a great running game, but Florida just absolutely manhandled at times. And so I saw this one coming. Now, everybody's blaming Arch, but they're not protecting him. And he got hit in a couple of positions the other day. Probably fortunate he didn't have a throwing arm injury. I think something's bothering with his arm because every now and again you'll see him grimace when he throws a football with certain arm actions. And the Florida's defense has just put so much pressure on him and caused a lot of bad throws. So it didn't surprise me at all. It's not going to surprise me if they beat Texas A&M at Aggieland this coming weekend. Lagway's got to play good. I didn't mean to jump around, but Lagway's got to play really well and take care of the ball. But their defense will be just as dominant on Texas A&M as Marcel Reed's not playing at a championship level right now. But everybody's on Arch. And I looked the other day, and one of the stats, points responsible for per game. The number one rated quarterback in the SEC on being involved in scoring points is Arch Manning. And everybody's down on him right now, talking about how he didn't turn out to be what he's supposed to be and so forth. But he's the number one quarterback in the conference in being responsible for points being scored. So he's doing some good things. He just doesn't have a lot of help right now.
I don't mind you hopping around because I was going to talk about Texas A&M next anyway. And this game against Florida, you're going to, as we said, look at two great defensive fronts. The Mississippi State should have beaten Tennessee. They didn't, but they should have. And they hung in. Their defense played well against A&M. You mentioned Marcel Reed. He's kind of all over the map. But Texas A&M's defense, that front just, I mean, they just, Mississippi State's quarterback just, I mean, it was tough, man. I mean, they get after you, man. I saw it in the Auburn game. I mean, you're right. With Florida and Texas A&M, you're going to have two really good fronts. But Texas A&M's defensive front right now, it appears, and I put Oklahoma in that category too, but they have guys that can just, they can just beat you right off the snap. It's so hard to run an offense when you got, whether it's run game or pass game, when you got defensive linemen that are disrupting and playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
Yep, they really are difficult. And I think it's going to come down to which defense can create problems for the other quarterback and make him turn the ball over. That's what it's going to come down to. I guess this is a hard statement to make, but I sort of trust Lagway a little bit more than Reed. Although I think Reed is probably taking care of the football better. He hasn't nearly made the plays that Lagway can make. But I don't know. In this game, I think it's going to be which quarterback makes the fewest mistakes, not the most big plays. And Texas A&M's defense and Florida's defense, I think, especially in their fronts, they're as good as there is in the league. I think Oklahoma's the best. But these two are going to be trouble. And if Florida can get to Marcel Reed or A&M can get the Lagway, you know, that's going to be the key. Who turns the ball over?
Well, let's get to Texas and Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl, 2:30 on Saturday afternoon. I don't think Mateer is going to play. I've read some stuff from their writers out there that he's doing everything he can to play. But the good thing about it for Oklahoma is Michael Hawkins Jr. has experience, and he was able to play last week. He played a lot last year. And they've got that defense. And Texas is trying to kind of find itself right now. I mean, listen, it's a rivalry game. But to me, Oklahoma looks like a better football team than Texas, Coach. How do you see it?
I totally agree. Now, if they had Mateer and he was helpful, I think you'd have to put Texas as the underdog. Going into it the way it is, he doesn't play. I think that gives a little edge to Texas, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if Oklahoma can pull the upset. Oklahoma's good enough on defense to go in and disrupt Texas, take two or three turnovers off of them, and win a defensive battle with these guys. But it's going to take Hawkins making sure that he just takes care of the football. Last week, they didn't play a good opponent, but last week his stats weren't all that impressive, but he didn't throw a pick. Not one interception, three touchdowns and zero interceptions. If he can just do that, I think Oklahoma's a better football team in other areas.
Auburn and Georgia. This is such an interesting game. you've been a part of this rivalry. With where Georgia's been the last few years and where Auburn's been, you just off the cuff, you just say, well, obviously Georgia's going to win the game. I mean, Kirby's had their number, but it looks more complicated than that. I know Auburn's 0-2 in the league, but boy, defensively, they're really good, and they're still struggling at the quarterback position again. It seems like that's every year deal for Auburn, but I see a lot of people picking Auburn to win this game, Coach. I still think Georgia's going to win the game. What am I missing here? But Auburn's at home. I mean, this is one of those that's giving people some trouble trying to figure out which way it's going to go.
Yeah, I mean, I almost 100% agree with what you just said. It's something that says you just can't go against Georgia in a close football game, two good football teams. One factor I think will be key to watch. I think both defenses are good enough to cause problems for the other team. I think Gunnar Stockton will handle that better than Arnold will. So I think that Georgia has an edge because I think the quarterback play better in tight situation and pressure situation and take care of the football. I think the win over Kentucky wasn't very impressive, but it kind of gave Georgia a time to get that Alabama out of their system, and they really soundly beat Kentucky. I mean, it was a lot worse. Even score was expanded. They're playing really good right now, and they're playing with confidence, and they got a lot of poise in tight situations. And I just think they're too good for Auburn right now. Too consistent.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me. All right, Arkansas and Tennessee, and I know a lot of Arkansas fans are hoping they get a little bit of a bump from Bobby Petrino. Here, and you're a coach, so this is your obviously. I can't wait to ask you this. I know Bobby Petrino's got a great track record as an offensive coach, and I've talked to some Arkansas people who are like, oh, yeah, man, we're going to, Pittman had gotten stale and all that. But he fired half the defensive staff. And I don't know, not that they haven't had success or not, but, I mean, he's been in charge of the offense the whole time anyway. I mean, it's not like Sam Pittman was over there telling him what to run. Bobby Petrino's been in charge of the offense. Now you're going to have some GAs and analysts and all trying to, I don't see where they're going to get any better. All of a sudden with Sam Pittman not being there. Offensively, I think a lot of Arkansas fans are like, well, man, we're going to turn the offense loose. Well, he's been running the offense. So I get it from the standpoint that they were ready to get Pittman out of there, but I don't see this Arkansas team suddenly becoming something that much different than what they've been, Coach. Do you?
No, I just, I see him coming out with a lot of energy.
Yeah.
All that. That lasts for about 5 minutes, and then it comes down to execution. I don't see Arkansas being able to consistently stop Tennessee's offense. And they've had, Arkansas has been playing pretty well on offense, but they've had some critical turnovers at the wrong time. And I just don't see the difference. Now, if Tennessee doesn't get ready to play and they don't come out and play extremely well, they are good enough to upset Tennessee. But I think Tennessee's at least 10, 14 points better than these guys. I personally don't know. When you fire half your defensive staff in the middle of the season, I don't know who's there. A lot of times they got these analysts on these staffs now. They got 15 to 25 extra coaches. So they may have some guys there that can just step in. But that, to me, is a huge hurdle to cross. Now, in 2 or 3 weeks, maybe they'll have it settled in and able to play just as well in that area. But right now, I just can't see their defense being prepared and being able to stop this offense that Tennessee has.
South Carolina is about to start a stretch at LSU, at home versus Oklahoma and Alabama, at Ole Miss, at A&M. Shane Beamer was asked about it this week, and I loved his answer. He said, man, listen, if you don't want to play this schedule, don't come to South Carolina. Don't tell me you want to compete, and then you get here and you don't want to play it. He said, it's just life in the SEC. This is what it's all about. But that is quite a stretch, a five-game stretch of LSU, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, and A&M. It starts in Baton Rouge. LSU's coming off the bye. They have had, some issues with the quarterback, even though a lot of people had it. Dust Myers, Heisman candidate. They're good on – none of the team is good on defense but struggled on offense. Is this a game where South Carolina has a chance to pull an upset?
Could be. And one of South Carolina's weaknesses, they don't stop a physical running game very well. But as of now, LSU hadn't really gotten their physical running game going. And they had the top running back was out against Ole Miss. But even coming into that game, the running game was their biggest problem on the offensive side. Now, that's probably a lot of what's wrong with Nussmeier. He's not the type of kid who can run football effectively. He's tough. He's, you know, he's physical, but he cannot run the football effectively on the option. And he's not a real threat on third down, pull the ball down and pick up a third and eight. So if you don't have a good running back and a good running game, kind of what I would say a standard running game, he's just not going to be able to move football effectively. And that's what they've got to find. Now, South Carolina, that's been their weakness. But if LSU, you know, can't fix that problem, it's going to be a dogfight. I think LSU will win the game. But South Carolina, if Sellers all of a sudden gets going and starts making some big plays, explosive plays, he looked a little better last game. They're both coming off open dates. They're a dangerous football team right now. And they need this win because probably the next 4 weeks they're going to be double-digit underdogs in every one of those games. And then they still got Clemson on the end of the schedule, who's as good or better than they are on roster-wise. So, they're looking at, well, we're going to get these six wins to go to a bowl game. What better be in their mind right now?
Mm-hmm. All right, Ole Miss has Washington State and Oxford. Obviously they're 31.5-point favorite. But I guess the question with Ole Miss is, what do you do at quarterback? Trinidad Chambliss has stepped in there and is playing great, but Austin Simmons is going to be healthy soon. If you're Lane Kiffin, do you switch quarterbacks? Do you play them both? Do you stay with Chambliss? What do you think he's going to do?
I'd say he's more qualified than me to make that decision, and I'm glad he's got to make it because I agree. This is a hard decision. This kid really had picked up his football team for 3 weeks. And he didn't just get them through the game. I mean, he was a big-time factor in that LSU game. Outplayed Nussmeier, you know, probably had better people around him. I agree with you. This is a quandary. I don't know what Lane will do, but he's certainly been in situations similar to this. You can go to quarterback coaches who is in college, and I just, you know, whatever he does, he'll make it work. But I think this is an unbelievable situation that's occurred for him.
Last couple minutes, I want to go out on the national scene because I'm just curious. Penn State took Oregon to overtime. They were, you know, top five team in the preseason, national championship contender. And they went out to the Rose Bowl last Saturday against a UCLA team that has been awful. I mean, awful. Already fired their coach. I mean, and UCLA beat them. How does that happen?
I don't know. Maybe that's one, you know, you think about Arkansas and Tennessee, and they're probably using that one as a motivator or something. But it's crazy. I mean, you're going to have one or two of those every football season, but I think it speaks a lot more about Penn State than anything. I think they were overrated coming into the season. I was never a huge, huge fan of the quarterback, and they didn't really have the running backs that, you know, we're going to lean on that and just be a running football team. I don't think they were a bad team, but I think they were overrated coming in. And that's some big ones over there. You got Indiana, Oregon, and Indiana's got to go to Oregon. The way Indiana's playing right now, you give them a chance to get the upset, but Oregon and home's going to be tough. You got Ohio State's got to go to Illinois. And Illinois is capable of upsetting them.
Mm-hmm.
Got them at home.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Michigan going out to Southern Cal. So this is kind of an interesting Big Ten week this week. I don't think there's another week that they have this many big games until they get the championship game.
Is this the most – final question. Is this the most parity that you've ever seen in college football? I'm not talking about just in the SEC, but overall where – you know, because of NIL, because of portal, I mean, even the good teams, I consider Penn State to be a good team, can lose to a really bad team. I mean, it just seems like that the margin between the teams, because we don't even know what every team is anymore. You know, used to you look at the roster and, you know, over time you'd say, man, this team's loaded. And some of these rosters, we're not sure what we have. It's just every week is just trying to find a way to figure out to win the game you're playing, right?
I agree. And I think this transfer portal, more than the NIL, this transfer portal allowing these kids to come and go and picking up kids right before spring practice or picking them up even during the summer. And I don't think programs can build culture like they used to. In other words, you can't have a program that, really reflects what things you are going to emphasize are going to be, because you got a new 50 or 60 man team coming in and out of the door every year. And I think the parity on the top level is occurring because nobody can stack depth like they used to. But I think it's damaging football below that very top level.
Mm-hmm.
Because kids like a Scatterboo, or who, that's probably not a good example, but some kids, you know, that used to play at power or group of five schools or mid-level, and somebody just missed them in recruiting, and they're a great player. They don't play at that school but 1 or 2 years, and somebody comes in and buys them. So that's hurting the lower level. But I totally agree with you. There's not a football team in America right now that can go out and play average or play bad and still beat somebody. They all have at least some soft spot in their lineup, and the matchups become very interesting.
Boy, they have. They have for sure. Great stuff as always, Coach. Appreciate it.
Enjoy it, Gary.
My pleasure. All right, 9:55. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one right after this.
On The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we're going to do keys to victory for the Alabama Crimson Tide against the Missouri Tigers. We'll do that with Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. We'll talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports national analyst. Our professional handicapper from Las Vegas, Bruce Marshall, joins us all starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
The longest running sports program.
I'm Tom Osment, your jeweler at Fincher & Osment Jewelers. Not so easy to find on McFarland, between Edgar's and local routes.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages.
It's not just food. It's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown at Timberson Square.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama.
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for the first hour of The Gary Harris Show. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Will come back and start hour number two off with D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons report. Your more your phone calls as well. An hour still to go on the Gary Harris Show.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles.
Kyle Schwarber and the Phillies put on a show in L.A.
He's from the right side. That ball's crushed. Deep to right field. Hernandez doesn't even move. It is long gone. It's off the roof of the pavilion in right field. Kyle Schwarber. And with a lightning strike, the Phillies tie it up at one.
You just heard it on the Phillies radio network. Schwarber actually homered twice, and the Phillies crushed the Dodgers 8-2 to force a game four tomorrow. The Blue Jays are headed to the ALCS for the first time since 2016 after defeating the Yankees 5-2 in game four. Yankees manager Aaron Boone said he expects to be back next year because he's under contract. The Cubs kept their season alive with a 4-3 win over the Brewers. Game four is tomorrow.
Your inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partially sunny today, the high in the upper 70s, around 79. Clear and very pleasant tonight, the low 59. Dry weather tomorrow and Saturday. The sky sunny both days, highs between 77 and 80. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 67 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for The Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfeld. A quick programming reminder, I'll be live at Innisfree Irish Pub in the morning, Fridays at the Free. And sneak on by and see me. They don't open until 11, but the side door over by the stage where I'm set up, you can get in a little early. And we'll have some little giveaways again tomorrow. And, of course, we'll have our big giveaway, the Bama Football Trivia Giveaway presented by T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall, home of the $99 suit sale. So tomorrow will be a big day at Innisfree Irish Pub. Right now, we've got a big guest on the Gary Harris Show hotline. Hasn't been with us in a couple of weeks. The Falcons were on bye last week. D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, AJC.com. The Falcons report. Good morning, Orlando.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Good to have you back after that humiliating loss at Carolina back on Sunday, September 21st, 30-0. The Falcons were able to bounce back. Granted, Daniels was not a quarterback for the Commanders, but you don't care. You take it any way you can get it. They beat Washington 34-27, get to the bye, and now they go or they host Buffalo, one of the best teams in the NFL, on Monday night. So a big opportunity for the Falcons on Monday Night Football to show that they're a serious football team.
Yeah, no doubt. The Bills be coming in a little angry after losing 23-20 to the Patriots. So, yeah, it's all set up for the Falcons to show us who they really are. Are you the team that has beaten two playoff teams, or are you the team that lost to the Carolina Panthers? We're going to see Monday night.
We are. Where's this team at? I mean, obviously they're 2-2 through four games, pretty early to have their bye, but what have you seen from them, and what do you think the chances that this team can round into a playoff team and a team that maybe can make some noise in the postseason?
Yeah, well, surprisingly, the defense has done a very good job. Granted, they're number one in yards allowed right now. Attacking defense under new coordinator Jeff Albrecht. Those numbers are skewed by the fact of who they played. You know, J.J. McCarthy, Baker Mayfield, Bryce Young, and then backup Marcus Mariota. But, you know, that's good. That travels. Defense travels. Offensively, they're still trying to find themselves. You know, Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier are powering the rushing attack, and they're still trying to unlock some things in the pass game.
Michael Penix Jr., what have you seen from him this season? And is he where the Falcons would like him to be? I mean, he's coming off a big game statistically against the Commanders. Has it been a little up and down, or overall, are you pleased with what you've seen from the Falcons starting quarterback?
Yeah, a little up and down. I really liked the first game against Todd Bowles when they tried to zero blitz him and he got the ball out. That was good. The Minnesota game, not so good. They get to the red zone and have to get five field goals to get out of there. So he's got to get his red zone game up. And then Carolina, he was missing folks left and right. But, you know, and then in this game, they put some stuff together against the Commanders in the last game, throwing the ball to Drake London, getting it to Kyle Pitts. Mooney's out, going to be out for, you know, hamstring usually is the wow. So, the passing game is London and Pitts right now. So they're putting some things together, but I was really impressed early on, then not so much. And now I see where things are working for him, and he's getting his feet on the ground in the National Football League.
You mentioned the Bills. They, along with the Eagles, were the only two unbeaten teams remaining in the NFL, and they both got beat last Sunday. Philadelphia blowing a game at home to Denver, and then Buffalo kind of likewise blowing a game to the Patriots. It just shows you where we're at in the NFL. 5 weeks in, we don't have an undefeated team left. Then the 72 Dolphins are still safe, but they won't be in a good mood. But this, as we said, is an opportunity for the Falcons at home. Crowd should be at a fever pitch to have a statement win. I mean, if you can knock off the Bills and Josh Allen, then I think you send notice that you're, as I said, a serious NFL football team. But if you let the Bills come in there and boat race you. I mean, people are going to just say this is the same old Falcons. This is a big game for Atlanta, not just in terms of trying to get to 3-2, but in terms of perception.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, they've been trying to fight for some respectability for a while now. You know, things have gone downhill since 2017. You know, they didn't know what to do in the transition of Matt Ryan. Now you got a legitimate quarterback in there, and you got, you know, what looks like the foundation of a pretty good defense. But can you go win? Can you go play with the heavyweights? Can you move out of that bottom half of the league where, you know, the Giants are living right now, where the Browns have been living for years, and go up there and start getting ready to take on the Detroits of the world, the Phillies of the NFC? And if you can punch Buffalo in the mouth, that's going to be able to tell people that, hey, yeah, this team might be on the come here. But if you get boat raced, you get kicked back down to the bottom with the Saints and the rest of the teams that are in Class B, not Class A of the NFL.
Orlando, when you look at the NFC South, Tampa Bay leads the way clearly at 4-1. But what's amazing about this team, and give them credit, and Baker Mayfield, boy, he's made some plays on fourth down this season. They're 4-1, and their points differential is +3. I mean, they've won every close game. I mean, the one loss to the Eagles, they came back, but they, you know, they've been down that entire game, but including at Seattle this past Sunday. I mean, there's, you know, in this league, that's what it takes. And boy, Baker Mayfield is just one of those guys. I don't care if it's 4th and 25. You feel like he's going to make a play for them. That's really the only difference between the Bucs and the rest of this division is that they've won some games maybe that they shouldn't have won, that could have lost, or they might be there at 3-2 or 2-3.
Yeah, well, my analytics people tell me that's unsustainable. You know, all these fourth quarter comeback wins by Baker, you know, at some point you got to beat some people. I remember that Minnesota team a couple years ago that won 14 games and 11 of them were, you know, one score games like that. You know, and of course they got boat raced out of the playoffs like that. So it's not sustainable, but we'll see if they can actually line up and beat some people. But, you know, that was a big win against Seattle, no doubt about it.
Let's go around the league a little bit because I'm just fascinated by quarterbacks. You know, guys that were first rounders or first overall picks, and they wash out somewhere. And now that, you know, you look at Baker Mayfield, you look at Darnold, and now we're seeing a revival for Mac Jones in San Francisco. And granted, I mean, the 49ers have invested in Brock Purdy. He's going to be their quarterback when he's healthy. But has Mac Jones earned himself an opportunity with what he's doing in San Francisco this year to get a chance to start for somebody else in the future?
Yeah, no doubt. It might still be there because, you know, when they traded up to get Trey, they end up taking Trey Lance, but it leaked out that Shanahan wanted Mac Jones. And, you know, it was from Chris Sims, and people kind of poo-pooed it. But Chris Sims and Kyle were roommates at University of Texas. Mm-hmm. So you know, that he finally got the quarterback that he probably wanted. And he went out and threw for 342 in that first game. I know Purdy's been able to play well for them. They paid him. But Purdy's also, you know, been injury prone. So they got a good insurance policy, if nothing else.
I think what we're seeing is the organization, the team, the coaching staff, how important it is for quarterbacks. I mean, Daniel Jones went to the Colts, and he looks like a different guy. He got away from the Giants, and this is the Daniel Jones that everybody thought they were getting, the Giants thought they were getting. So you see this, and you wonder sometimes if it's the quarterback or if it's the team. I mean, we're seeing a lot of this around the league.
Yeah, Gary, it's the team. We've been studying this. I go to the combines every year. Greg Knapp used to help me with the quarterback. Bill Polian. And, you know, there are some data points that you want to look at on the guys coming out, how many games they started, the winning percentage, was he a captain. But, you know, basically it's a crapshoot at quarterback. And what we see is that the good teams that can develop quarterbacks and put talent around them, they end up being, okay. The Giants weren't able to put anybody around Daniel Jones. couldn't get the things to work for me. The Falcons did a great job, one of the best under Dimitrov, putting talent around Matt Ryan, mm-hmm. when he was going out and getting Tony Gonzalez. They had Roddy White, then they got Julio. So they put weapons around him, had Michael Turner in free agency. So the key is to get the quarterback, get him some weapons, and protect them. So, and we're seeing that around the league as guys are being recycled.
Yeah, the Falcons, never going to get over them blowing that Super Bowl against the Patriots. Around the league, like I said already, we don't have a single unbeaten team. It's unbelievable. Five games in and nobody's unbeaten. So this is a trick question because it's too early probably, but who do you think is the best team in the league?
I think it's Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
The AFC people are not looking very good. I thought it was Baltimore. It's clearly not them. The Bills look pretty average on defense. So, that might be something to watch on Monday night. Kansas City struggling again. So, those were supposed to be the AFC pop heavyweights. And, Bengals are not in the hunt either. So, over in the NFC, it's looking like Detroit's out of the gate clean. I don't trust Jordan Love and the Packers. The Eagles are going to be there before it's said and done. And a lot of people are thinking the 49ers will bounce back. But we'll see. It's wide open, I think, across the board. The Chargers came out hard, 3-0, then lost to the Giants. So it's not them. So I think we're going to be in for some good football around the holidays here as teams try to get into their identities and start putting up some W's and playing at a higher level.
I guess the biggest, you mentioned the Chiefs at 2-3, but the Ravens, again, just they just seem like they haven't been the same since that collapse against Buffalo to start the season, and now they're a disaster. I mean, Lamar's out. Derrick Henry's getting stoned. I don't know how Zach Orr still has a job as a defensive coordinator. Their defense, and I know they have injuries, I get it, but their defense is a sieve. I mean, they just can't stop anybody. You see any chance for the Ravens to turn it around, even, if Lamar comes back, when he comes back?
Oh, yeah, because nobody's going to run away and hide in the NFC, in the AFC North, while they're stumbling about. So they'll be okay if they can put it back together. Might have to play some more vanilla stuff on defense, drop Kyle back. They got the safety in the trade. Try to regenerate that pass rush they had last year. Maybe go vanilla, keep stuff in front of them. But, they've got the talent. They've been there before. They'll know how to get back. Maybe go get Huntley off the street instead of Cooper Rush and run what you run. But you got good coaches there. I got Big Chuck Smith coaching the pass rush there from Atlanta. So kind of counting on the Ravens to put it back together and get going here at some point.
Great stuff as always, Orlando. Appreciate the time and the information, and fill the listeners in on how they can get more information from one of the best NFL beat writers in the business.
Well, thank you so much, Gary. You can follow me on Twitter at TheOrlandoAJC, and you can get our Dirty Bird Dispatch newsletter sent to you every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. If you just sign up, you can hit the link on the top of my Twitter page and give us your email, and we'll get that to you every Thursday morning.
Thank you, Orlando.
All right, thank you, Gary. Have a great one.
All right, 10:17 here on the Gary Harris Show. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to dive into this Bill Belichick situation in North Carolina. Already reports out that, yesterday that they may be working on both Belichick and North Carolina on a exit plan. Now, the university obviously has put out a statement saying that's not the case, but this looks like this could be the biggest coaching disaster maybe ever. NFL to college, 70-something years old, really never coached in college football. I mean, the only thing that jumps to mind would be on the other direction with college to NFL with what happened with Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. That was toxic from the get-go, and this deal with Belichick seems toxic. We're going to dive into that. Plus, phone calls, 205-342-9904, 205-342-9904. We'll be right back after this timeout.
West Alabama Real real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the TuscaloosaThread.com headlines brought to you by Tuscaloosa Mazda. Turning Point USA brings an event titled All Human Life is Valuable to Room 227 in Galilee Hall on the UA campus tonight at 6. It was postponed from an earlier date due to the assassination of founder Charlie Kirk. The newly released drought monitor reveals an area of extreme drought has continued to spread, covering Green Hill and Marengo counties, southern Tuscaloosa, southwestern Pickens, and extreme western Bibb counties. ABC 3340 Chief Meteorologist James Spann says there's good and bad news.
Good news, cooler, pleasant air dropping into Alabama today, but the bad news, no chance of any needed rain.
Drought conditions exist all across the state. In high school football, County High is at Hoover tonight. Tuscaloosa Mazda is expanding to serve you better. Come see our new and pre-owned Mazda lineup.
Offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours events.
Diesel generators. True South Generators, 205-609-2642.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny today, the high in the upper 70s, around 79. Clear and very pleasant tonight, the low 59. Dry weather tomorrow and Saturday. The sky sunny both days, highs between 77 and 80. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best place for your high school football coverage is right here on Tide 100.9. And online on Tide100.9.com.
Day 10-23, welcome back in. Bill Belichick reportedly talking with North Carolina about an exit strategy. This is a disaster right now. I mean, there's no other way around it. They are awful. He looks out of place and out of sorts, and brought in a staff that's getting paid tons of money. Two former Bama players on that staff, by the way. Freddie Kitchens is the offensive coordinator and tight ends coach, and Will Friend is the offensive line coach. But they're just terrible. And now you're looking at it much like you looked at Urban Meyer when he went to the Jacksonville Jaguars from college football, that it's just not a fit and it's just not going to happen. And so now, obviously, the university put out a statement yesterday with Belichick and the AD, Bubba Cunningham, denying that anything was going on. Let me read that to you. It was very short. But, you know, you have to do that. I mean, until something is done. Here's a statement from Bill Belichick. I'm fully committed to UNC football and the program we're building here. Bubba Cunningham, the AD, who did not want to hire Belichick, was forced upon him. Coach Belichick has the full support of the Department of Athletics and University. Wow. Just quick to the point. So I would be surprised if he finishes the season based on what I've read. But they have to work out the financial particulars, all that gets into the contract and all that kind of stuff. All right, let's get out on the Gear Here Show hotline and welcome in the Cowboy. Hey, Cowboy. Cowboy gone. Boy, Cowboy, you didn't stay with us very long. We just got back out of the break. Maybe he'll call back. Maybe they had a phone issue. I don't know. But, again, I'm not a contract guy. I don't, that's probably Cowboy calling back. I don't really understand how these things work, but supposedly there's some stuff in Belichick's contract that will make it easier for them to work out an exit agreement. But I don't know that, you know, how long that's going to take, but it just doesn't appear that this is going anywhere. All right, now we're going to try it again with the Cowboy. Hey, man, what's up?
Not much, sorry. I'm waiting on the guy to come see me about a question, and he was late showing up. Then he showed up right when I got on there with you, so I had to drop it.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Got to pay the bills, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Hey, Yeah, I read that story on Football Scoop last night about Belichick. Maybe he wasn't even going to go to the Cal game. Then they came out later. Everybody's committed. I think this thing's going to end. What do you think?
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me. Everything that you – again, I trust good reporters, and these are some good reporters that are on this story. This isn't just, you know, fly by night hack sites on Facebook. This is legit reporting that is being done, and it just doesn't sound like that either party is very happy with what's transpired. And again, Bubba Cunningham, from everything that I've been able to gather, did not want to hire Bill Belichick. This was kind of forced upon him, but. You're right. You had a, you know, you have a bye week, and I read one story where Belichick just kind of disappeared for a couple of days. You know, the coaches couldn't get in touch with him, and
he was up in Nantucket, wasn't he?
Yeah, probably so. That's where he likes to go. And you know, you don't see that much in college football, even on a bye week where the coach takes off. I mean, he may give the coach a couple of days off, but they don't usually take vacations in the middle of the season. And now you go to Cal next Friday night, a week from tomorrow night, and I can't imagine that game – Cal's pretty good. I can't imagine that game's going to end any other way than – you know, the only two teams they have beaten were Charlotte and Richmond, all right? And then when you look at the three legit teams they've played, and they've still only played one let's see. Yeah, okay. All right, they've lost to TCU 48-14. They lost to UCF 34-9, and they lost to Clemson 38-10, and that game was over at halftime, and the stadium emptied out.
Well, it was
over
after the first play.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, you know, it's just they're not even – they don't – here's the thing. You can say this about Bill Belichick and both things be right. He's one of the greatest – coaches of all time. And I don't care if he had Tom Brady. Part of being great is having great players. You know, he was one of the greatest NFL coaches that we've ever seen. But to be in your 70s and then go back to college where you haven't really coached since you were young, very young coach, and really not any professional coaching experience in college football, and think you're going to take over a program. And that and what's so bad about it is North Carolina, that's a beautiful stadium. They've got incredible facilities. Right. You know, I've always said Alabama and North Carolina are so much alike. Alabama's a football school that has a good basketball program. North Carolina is a basketball school that has a good football program. You can win at North Carolina. You can. Mm-hmm. But this is a disaster, man. You bring in Michael Lombardi from the, you know, from the NFL to be your GM for $1.5 million a year, $1.5 million, and you know you're trying to take the blueprint that Saban used, you know, the metrics of height, weight, and you know speed for certain positions, and apply it to college. But Saban was a college coach. You know, he wasn't.
Right.
He was a college coach and coached in the NFL. This is an NFL lifer trying to apply an NFL blueprint to a college program, and it's hard to watch, man. It really is.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of Urban Meyer in reverse.
It is. That's what I said. It's the same, you know, that was toxic when Urban went to the Jags and people knew early on it wasn't going to happen. And it's the same thing here. So, yeah, I'm with you. Right. I wouldn't be surprised. I really, to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't coach that game at Cal a week from Friday night.
Do you think this is it for Bell? The NFL is not going to take him back. He's done, right?
You would think, because he tried to get an NFL job before he took the Carolina job. I mean, he wanted the Falcons job desperately. And what I read was, and I think Orlando said it on the show, that Arthur Blank wanted to hire him. And then some of the football people talked him out of it because they knew they'd be out of a job.
Hey, Gary, mainly what I called, but I got held up on that Belichick deal was, you know, I used to could follow Alabama high school football teams on AL.com by, you know, living out here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't. Where can I go in Alabama on a website and, you know what teams are doing in 7A?
Yeah, let me give you a couple of good websites. You know, first of all, AHSAA.com. You can track teams there. But a really good site is History of Alabama High School Football.
History of Alabama.
Yeah, it is a great site, History of Alabama High School Football. And when you get there, every team in the state of Alabama is listed alphabetical order. So you find your team. Right. Let's say you want to check in on Hoover. You go to the H's. You run down to Hoover, and not only are they going to have the schedule and the results from this season, they're going to have the schedule and the results from every season they've ever played. They're going to have games by year. They're going to have every coach that's coached at Hoover going back to when it was Barry. And they're going to have their records, where else they coached. I mean, it is a phenomenal site. So bookmark that. Alabama High School. It's from the Alabama High School Football Historical Society, but it's History of Alabama High School Football. If you just Google that, it'll pop up for you, and you'll love that site.
Okay, great. Yeah, I kind of could keep up with who was option 7, 6A, 5A, 4A, 3A, 2A, 1A, but now AL.com, it's just horrible. Mm-hmm. I'll leave it at that.
Paywalls and everything else. So, you can get now this History of Alabama High School Football site is going to give you so much information. It's going to be crazy. I don't know that it actually gives the weekly rankings, but I know the there they are. They've got power rankings, and yeah, they've got the Sports Writers Football Poll. Yeah, they've got they seem to have it all too. But you can, like I said, you can also go to the Alabama High School Athletic Association site. But I think everything you need, you'll find at that Alabama High School Football Historical Society page.
All right, buddy. Well, enjoy
your... Plus, $200 off a Tempur-Ergo smart base. For the great sleep you deserve, visit Mattress Firm. We make sleep easy. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:35, welcome back in. And before we get to Jeff Spiegel, want to mention for all you folks interested in high school football, Cowboy, of course, again, that Alabama, History of Alabama High School Football site is unbelievable. But also, Bama Central, Chris Walsh writes scores and rankings for high school football at BamaCentral.com. So that's something you might want to check out as well. All right, we're going to check it out with Jeff Spiegel, ABC 3340 Sports Anchor. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Doing great. Alabama seems to be on a roll, but we know in this conference, particularly this year, just because you're on a roll doesn't guarantee future success. They got to go on the road to Mizzou, early kick on Saturday there at in Como, and play a Missouri team that's 5-0 and coming off a bye and can run the football down your throat. So how do you see this matchup?
Yeah, they do. And I've kind of heard people refer to this as a trap game. I don't really think it fits the definition of a trap game, unless you say, well, you're coming off a couple of emotional wins, and then you've got Tennessee a week ahead. I guess in that sense, it's a trap game, but it will probably be offensive to the Missouri folks, if you call this a trap game. Mm-hmm. I think Eli Drinkwitz feels like, he's got a pretty good football team there and he's got something, good going there. Yeah, I mean, what gets your attention is when you look at the SEC stats and they're far away the leading rusher, in the league. And they're far and away the leading team in the league when it comes to rush defense. So, those two things jump out at you if you're a, traditionalist who feels like, if you can run the football and you can stop the run, you got a pretty good chance at winning. And that's a good combination, that they're 5-0. So, certainly I think it's a game that, concerns Kalen DeBoer. The 11 o'clock kick is always a concern, if your guys are up and alert, that early. But I think this team is, pretty laser focused at this point. I think the Florida State game, more than got their attention, mm-hmm. As to how they should take every team seriously. So I think, this is a team that's got, good, solid leadership, a guy who's going great at quarterback. Who's not going to let them stumble. And I think by saying that, I think Alabama's got a you know, really good chance of going in here and getting this win.
Yeah, and how much does it help, Jeff, that they played Vanderbilt the week before, a team that plays similarly to a similar style to Missouri, and they were able to flip the script against Vanderbilt in time of possession. And after that first quarter, now they got gutted pretty good in the first quarter, 113 yards rushing, but only 22 the rest of the way. It seems to me that that's a pretty good prep for Mizzou, not exactly the same, but very similar offensive philosophy, and Alabama was able to get the win against the Commodores.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think their defense is on point. I think, you know, Jefferson is playing great. All those guys are, you know, are doing good things there. The, the strip of Pavia in the first quarter was, you know, the play of the game to me. It kind of turned the game around. And I think, I just think these guys are all on one accord. You know, they're on the same page. It's a far cry from what we saw in the season opener. They're locked in, and they're just, you know, really not going to let anything just kind of, you know, screw this ride up, you know, if they can help it. So I think they're on schedule to, you know, to play a good game and get another win here.
All right, let's go across the state, and I guess it speaks to the parity in this league and the week-to-week nature of it that Auburn, that's started out 0-2 in the conference, is coming off a bye, but still is 0-2, has had absolutely hardly any offense in SEC play. Now, the defense has been steady. Georgia is coming to Jordan-Hare. Kirby has absolutely owned Auburn since he got to Athens. And yet, I see a lot of people putting Georgia on upset alert and saying that Auburn can win this game. Which, again, I think we do see how well Auburn's defense played at Oklahoma and at A&M on the road. Do you see a potential upset here for the Tigers over the Dogs?
Well, I mean, when I look at this game, I look at it pretty much similar the same way I do Alabama, you know, and Missouri. Would it surprise me if Missouri beat Alabama? I mean, I expect Alabama to win, but it wouldn't surprise me if Missouri won. The reason being is that there's really no dominant team in this league. You know, week in and week out, that's what makes this league so fun to watch right now, and I guess maddening to watch, you know, if you're a coach of a football team, because you just have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, you think you know, but you don't know. And so, you know, Georgia's coming in here, and, you know, they've had trouble rushing the passer. Well, Auburn's had trouble protecting the passer. Well, who can like, straighten out their issues the best, you know, this week when it comes to that? You know, can Auburn avoid the pre-snap penalties? You know, if they can clean all that stuff up, then all of a sudden, Hugh Freeze looks like a great play caller, because I don't care what play caller's out there, Lane Kiffin, Sark, give me a play calling genius. He's not as good at 3rd and 11 as he is at 3rd and 2 or 3. And that's what Auburn's been going against. They've been shooting themselves in the foot. They start every drive, it seems, 1st and 15, 1st and 20, 2nd and 11, 3rd and 9. And if they can stay out of those, you know, long distance situations to get a first down, then I think they can get this offense together and get something cranked up and get going. And so I said at the beginning of the year that, I mean, I put Georgia on upset alert way back in like mid-August when I saw the schedule come out that this game was going to be at night. Because, Gary, we've seen Auburn games at night at Jordan-Hare Stadium. We know the voodoo that can happen, you know, during those situations. So that would surprise me if Auburn did pull off the upset here. It would not at all.
Looking at the league, this is a big, big weekend. And a game that is very interesting to me, obviously, is Texas and Oklahoma. Hawkins, I expect to be a quarterback. I've read some stuff out of Norman that Mateer may try to come back, but I can't imagine if he's not ready that they're going to play him. At the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas, you know, is not what we thought they would be to this point, and got, you know, lost in the swamp last week. Oklahoma up front on defense has just been, boy, they've been right there with A&M and Florida as top defensive fronts in this league. And, you know, Texas that with an offensive line that struggled, Arch Manning, who can't seem to get it together. But yet, I still feel like Texas could win this football game. And I wouldn't be shocked if they do, even if Mateer can't go. But it's Oklahoma, it's Texas, it's the Cotton Bowl. Should be a big game, fun game. How do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, it's just one of those games that, you know, you look forward to every year. I mean, Texas and Oklahoma, it's a classic rivalry, state fairgrounds and all that stuff. I think Texas is going to find a way here. And I just can't believe, the rough start that Arch Manning has gotten off to. Although, when you look at it, first year as a starter, you know, in a league like this, you know, against some of the defenses that you have to play in this league, I mean, it's a tall task. And I don't care what your last name is. All because your last name is Manning doesn't mean you're just going to run in there and just take over things, you know, first year as a starting quarterback. There's a learning curve. So this may be the week when, you know, you snap your finger and the light comes on and he starts making plays. Because this guy, as much as I've heard people just run this guy down this past week, that he's overhyped. You know, he played at a small school in New Orleans. You know, well, so did Eli and so did Peyton. You know, they turned that okay. And I think there's so much potential and so much upside with this guy that eventually the switch is going to come on and he's just going to play lights out. And this may be the week that happens. Although, as you mentioned, Oklahoma's defense is playing just lights out football. So I'll look for Manning to kind of get his act together. And for Texas to, and the rest of the team, you know, it's not just the Manning show. The rest of the team's got to pitch in and help too and do some work, because they've had shortcomings all the way across the board this bunch. So Texas as a team is underachieved, not just Arch Manning, but the whole team has. So if they can all get their act together, and I think this would be a big, big win for them.
Jeff, I mentioned A&M's defensive front, Oklahoma's defensive front, and Florida's defensive front is, I think, the best three defensive fronts in the league. And Florida and A&M play each other at Kyle Field. It seems like A&M just plays every conference game at home so far. But Florida's coming off a huge win, and this is the kind of game that A&M stumbled in the past. Could you see an upset brewing here in College Station?
You know, I don't. I missed this one last week. I didn't think Florida had a chance to beat Texas, but, you know, I was totally wrong. And here's another opportunity for Billy Napier to even more save his job, to come up with a big road win right there. But again, I point to the fact that I just don't see a dominant team in this league. So if Florida can come in and make some things happen early, But that home field advantage is pretty tough there at Kyle Field, and I think A&M's really got it rolling. I think their defense is playing great, as you mentioned. Marcel Reed, Mario Craver, a kid we covered here at Clay Chalkwell High School, you know, is having a really good year for them, the transfer from state. So I don't see anything slowing A&M down Saturday.
Bobby Petrino is now in charge, and Arkansas fans seem juiced up, but he's been in charge of the offense to begin with. I mean, he fired half the defensive staff, including the coordinator, Travis Williams. I mean, I guess you get a little bit of momentum from just the fact that Pittman's out of there, but I'm surprised this line in Knoxville's only 12.5. And I understand Arkansas's had Tennessee's number lately. I get that, but I don't see how Arkansas is going to get better just all of a sudden because Bobby Petrino is the head coach. Jeff, kind of clue me in on what I'm missing here.
No, I mean, you don't want to have, you know, a transition year in the middle of the year. You know, I mean, you got a defensive, football team that's, you know, without their people, without their coaches, and there's so much upheaval there that I don't see them rallying the troops, you know, in time to stop Joey Aguilar and the Tennessee Vols, who, you know, don't forget, has already got a pretty good road win on their resume. You know, they went to state and won that game in overtime, which I think was a huge, huge win for them. So, no, I mean, I don't see Arkansas beating Tennessee. I mean, if I look at all the games in the country that have upset written on them, I certainly don't see Arkansas beating Tennessee.
LSU coming off the bye, and boy, the goodwill Brian Kelly creates, he always seems to give it right back. LSU now on offense. I mean, Nussmeier's not looking like they expected him to look. They can't run the football. South Carolina comes into Death Valley on Saturday night. And is this a potential upset? Is Carolina got enough gas in the tank to go to Baton Rouge and win a game on Saturday night?
Well, I mean, Saturday night in Baton Rouge is a tough place to win a football game. But, you know, it's just crazy how the season has gone. Yeah, Texas and Penn State, they were 1-2, and now they're out of the top 25. And LSU is certainly, you know, their stock has certainly fallen, just dropped dramatically. And you're right, Nussmeier is just, I don't know what's going on with them. But this would be one of those games where, you know, I think Brian Kelly's, I mean, I think he's got to win this game. This is one of those games where, you know, if you lose it, you know, at the beginning of the year, you wouldn't have looked at LSU South Carolina and go, Brian Kelly's got to win that game. But, you know, he's got to get some positive mojo back with this football team. The offense has got to, you know, stop getting out of their own way and making some plays. And this is one of those games that I think if they lose this game at home to South Carolina, who no matter how good South Carolina was last year, is not considered an SEC juggernaut yet, that will be trouble for him.
All right, Jeff, let me ask you about UAB. They were 2-2 and, you know, had Army coming in and City of Birmingham bought $200,000 worth of tickets and, you know, trying to get a little buzz. You're thinking, well, if they can knock off Army at home, they get to 3-2, and they got destroyed 31-13. We talk about the Blazers and just trying to find something positive. Can you find anything positive as they go to Florida Atlantic on Saturday?
Well, you know, in Trent Dilfer's press conference, he did some artwork. He drew a dot on a piece of paper and showed it to the media and said, "What do you see?" And of course, you know, we saw the dot.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what most people see. They don't see all the, you know, the white around the dot. You know, you're kind of focusing on the negative. And there's a lot of positive, you know, with this football team, you know, and he pointed out the fact that, you know, this team, you know, the team loves each other. You know, they love their coaches and all that stuff and all that. And it's just kind of, I don't know if it, I thought it was a good approach, you know, to take during the news conference to try to, you know, get some positive energy going. But there's really no positive energy, I mean, coming from this football program right now. I mean, they need a big road win at FAU. I don't know if they're going to get it because they're just, they're just kind of in a mess right now in terms of, you know, confidence-wise. It'd be certainly any win would be big for UAB, but it's kind of going south, and I don't know if they can, you know, push the snowball back up the hill, Gary.
All right. One thing I did not mention when I talked about Auburn, but it's a big day for Cam Newton, too, is he's going to have his jersey retired, the 2010 Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, you know, it was, I had a chance to cover a lot of Auburn games that year, and it's one of the coolest chapters, you know, of my career, being able to go to games and watch this guy play. I mean, he was just unbelievable. So, you know, a lot of people go, how do you get your jersey retired after playing at a school just 1 year? Well, it was an incredible year.
Yeah, it was.
It was a national championship season. And he deserves it. So, you know, the Auburn fans are going to, you know, drink all that in. And, you know, hopefully for their sake, you know, they can come up with a win, you know, to boot, to add to that. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a really cool night for Cam and a cool night for the Auburn family.
And for you, boy, you get the EOG game wrap on Saturday night, and you've got the triple header with Alabama at Missouri, Oklahoma at Texas, and Georgia at Auburn on ABC. So that's setting the table pretty well. That's what we call layup for the EOG game wrap, man.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I think that we were talking about the numbers yesterday, and I think the share, I think, for, I don't know what the difference is between a share and a rating. But anyway, it was 71. was the number, you know, for the Alabama-Georgia game, which means, you know, 71% of all TVs were watching that game. It's just crazy how crazy people are about football in this region, and we're lucky to have those games. It's going to be a a great tripleheader and a great night for us and a great night for football fans.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Hey, thanks, Gary. Have a good weekend.
You bet. You too. 10:52, and lunch is right around the corner, and Decades Pub and Grub is ready to serve you right downtown at Timberson Square with some of the best food. I mean, Cliff Clark and that kitchen staff, they put a lot of time and effort into every menu offering. Their sandwiches, that great boar's head meat, I mean, it's not just thrown together. It's hot sandwiches, cold sandwiches, whatever they may be. They're really, really good. And great atmosphere. Double bars. One side kind of has all the popular music and videos. And the other side's kind of more like a sports bar. If you haven't tried it out, hit it for lunch. Also, obviously, for dinner as well. But that's a Decades Pub and Grub downtown Timberson Square. We'll be back to wrap up this edition of the Gary Harris Show right after this on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we're going to do keys to victory for the Alabama Crimson Tide against the Missouri Tigers. We'll do that with Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. We'll talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports National Analyst. Our professional handicapper from Las Vegas, Bruce Marshall, joins us all starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
The longest running sports program in
Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier, so I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on
your language, save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny today, the high in the upper 70s, around 79. Clear and very pleasant tonight, the low 59. Dry weather tomorrow and Saturday. The sky sunny both days, highs between 77 and 80. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 72 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide. 100.9.
All right, we're all out of time here on the Gary Harris Show, but a quick reminder that I'll be live at Innisfree for Fridays at the Free tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. We'll have a Remember Football Trivia giveaway courtesy of T-Town Menswear, T-Town Gallery, University Mall. Plus, I'm going to have some more of those great Texas Roadhouse Dinner for Two coupons, or not coupons, well, cards, actually. Great, great to give away tomorrow. So if you come out a little early and hang out with me, I'll hit you up with one of those. So I'll have a few of those with me tomorrow as well. Looking forward to it. I have a great guest list as well. That's tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., live at Industry Hours Pub. For Chase Brumfield, I'm Gary Harris. Thanks for listening, everybody. Catch me on TV tonight with your local sports on WVUA 23. The Miller's Edge is coming up next. Have a great Thursday.